Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Greetings, travellers. Welcome
Greetings.
Welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast with me, Christopher William, Mr. Christopher Wilhelm Glasson, and my co-host...
Willie Heim.
Willie Heim.
Ah, Willie Heim.
Yeah, that's what boys have before they lose their virginity, is a Willie Heim. When that breaks, then you've been doing it wrong. How about you?
Never listened to Hardcore Listing before, and this was your first time listening... if you've chosen to break your Willie Heim on this episode, then let me tell you what you get. It won't get a lot better than what you just heard there. I'm not going to lie to you. What you'll get is myself, I'm Stu Whiffin, and Christopher Willie Heim Glasson. And what we do is we talk about top fives. They can be anything. And we have done literally everything and anything within the realms of top fives. Excuse me, I haven't done top five coughs down the mic for a while. And then what we do is we get that top five. It can be any topic, and then Chris and I will go through it. Sometimes with guests, sometimes without. Today's one, it's just Chris and I, but don't let that think it's going to be anything less than average. It will be. We're consistently average, and we will be delivering.
But you know what you're getting. It's like
exactly.
A can of Foster's, right? You open Absolutely. That can of Foster's.
We are the Foster's of podcasts.
You know what you're getting? You're getting a consistently, chemically sort of tang in your beer, and that makes it more transportable around the world and a consistent flavour. As we've been taught by one of our sponsors. So I guess before we go any further, let's have a little message from our wonderful, sexy sponsors.
Right, I want to tell you about our sponsor, Moto Recall.
Yes, it's one of those lifestyle utility apps that every phone should have.
It's got the practical, the nostalgia, and the dream. From 18 to 118, there is something for you. It's what you make it.
Day-to-day reminders of tax and MOT on your cars you've in your current garage. I, for one, sometimes been driving around in my car not being MOT because I forgot. So it's a bit of a lifesaver.
Absolutely. I mean, never buy a second-hand car without knowing the history. You know, provenance. Moto Recall makes sure you aren't caught out by allowing you to perform a full provenance check on the vehicle. With just the car reg, is there outstanding finance? Has it been in an accident? Is the mileage legit? You'll get the full picture, powered by experience, with a data guarantee.
I wish I'd had that in the past. And with this app as well, you can build your historic garage with photos and data that you can not only look back on for yourself, but you can share it with your mates. You know, every car is a memory. You used to have that Cat in the Hat car. I'd love to have seen that.
I mean, if you don't have an historic garage, like, build out your dream garage. You know, what has caught your eye? What are you dreaming of owning?
And the best bit is free. Up to 50 cars and provenance checks are pay as you go when you need them. Experian aren't as nice as the Moto Recall team, of course.
Download the app for free. Search Moto Recall in your app store. MOTORECALL. Moto Recall in your app store. Hello, this is Chaz from Love Beer. And I'm here to tell you about why I sponsor Hardcore Listening and what love-beer.co.uk does. I am a fully certified by the British Beer and Pubs Association for bar installation with a focus on home and office bars. I have loads of home bar clients who have really enjoyed the service during lockdown, as well as corporate office clients like Facebook and HelloFresh. I offer a complete solution from installing the bar equipment right the way through to keg supply. I also offer regular maintenance packages for those who want a bar without all the hassle.
Hello, this is Charles, also from Love Beer. I just want to also let you know I'm fully licensed to sell kegs. We can supply loads of different products from mainstream beers and ciders right through to trendy craft beers and even Prosecco kegs, all delivered to your bar by a certified technician.
Also, while I'm here, have I mentioned the Land Rover Beeries 3, which is a 45-year-old ex-MOD Land Rover Series 3 that we have done a complete restoration on during lockdown?
The 3 Beeries 3 is a custom-built high-performance bar hidden in the back of a Land Rover. The bar we have installed is capable of doing upwards of 500 pints per hour. We're about 4 to 5 weeks off having it all back together and ready to show it off. And I'll be launching an Instagram for it this week.
Nice one, Charles.
Nice one. Hello, I want to take a moment to shout out one of our wicked sponsors, Eggfried.com. They are a streetwear brand. They produce t-shirts, sweats, hoodies, handmade denims. It's all inspired by hip-hop, punk, choir fashion. It's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, head over to Eggfried.com and have a look on the website, because it's not just the design, it's the layout, it's the website. You know, the creative team over there are absolutely on point. There's just some great stuff there. And not just for adults as well. They've got Small Fried, which is their range of kids' clothes. And if you want your kid to just look beyond cool, like, head over and check that out. And they've given us a discount code, right, Chris?
Yes, Egg Salad. If you type Egg Salad into the discount coupon section, you get yourself a tidy little discount. And when they send out the stuff, it is packaged exquisitely. You get little goodies in there, stickers, and it's all wrapped up beautifully. So check out eggfried.com.
Okay, lastly, we want to thank, and certainly not leastly, we want to thank. Is leastly a word?
Oh, no, it's really not.
Right, we're going with it. We're going with it. So we want to thank Luke Van Boom. Luke Van Boom has a company called Bang Boom Creative. Luke is a long-time sponsor of this show and a friend of this show. If you see the pictures of Chris and I on the socials advertising this podcast, them happy snaps were taken by the genius that is Luke Van Boom. I mean, that's just the tip of what he does. Chris, do you want to explain a little bit more about what Bang Boom Creative does?
Yes, it's all about fresh, innovative production. So they're all about content with a heart and soul, making films of all kinds, shooting dynamic photographs and putting smiles on faces. They're passionate storytellers working with a diverse range of brands of all sizes. You know, their work includes short film, viral video, animation, hidden camera stunts, product demos, live action, 360 imaging and music promo. And they've worked with a ton of companies as well. Universal, BBC Children in Need, even the Mayor of London, Katie Piper, the NHS, the Dogs Trust. They've worked with a lot of companies.
It consistently blows my mind, you know, the stuff that you've just said there. Why does he have anything to do with us plums?
Stop talking him out of it.
Right. There you go, all our sponsors. We should also say this episode today is brought to you in association with Foster's Lager. no, not really. Other lagers are available. I went out the other day. I had a catch-up with our friend Cunt and the Gang. And my mate Gal was round there, Postman, shout him out. It's one of the ones where, like, Cunt's got a really nice big sort of pub in his garden, and so we all went round there for a little catch up and a little drink. Sun's been shining. So
I was invited round there once. It was really nice. I was invited round there once to fucking move a pool table.
Oh yeah, that's
the only time I've been allowed round. Chris, you want to come over? Yeah, Wiki, we're just moving a pool table. Sweet.
It makes him sound like he lives in some kind of crib where he's got a pub in his garden with all a pool table.
All that cunt and the gang money.
but obviously, like, when you go around your mates and you're not going to a pub, you obviously take your booze around there. And for me, you know, if I'm going to have a night having a few drinks with my mates, then I will think, right, what do I really want to drink tonight? And I'll give it a bit of thought. And I took round a little multi-pack of Brew Dogs and some nice ciders and some half-decent snacks. And I thought, right. Gal turned up, great selection of snacks. But he just bought Foster's because he likes Foster's. And I just think, I find it really weird. My brother-in-law just drinks Carling. And I just can't
get my head around it.
I don't want to make out I'm some kind of beer snob. I know it sounds like I am, but like, don't get me wrong. If I'm at a fucking festival, I'll drink any old shit. Mm. I'll drink any old shit anyway. But in this day and age, you can, for the same price as four cans of Foster's or Carling, you can get four cans of something that's got a little bit more about it, I think. But maybe that's just because I'm 48.
I don't know. Like, is it? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But like for me, it was broke a long fucking time ago. Like, I don't know. Like, once you switch up and go for a different beer.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, like, you just
there's no going back.
Why am I drinking that? All my girlfriends walked in and look at this. Look at that.
Oh, that's service that is, mate.
That's a green smoothie.
She's just
that
bought you
is.
A load of snot in a glass.
Yeah, it's probably going to taste disgusting. Just think she's going to run in there and have a go at me. I know she did. But that's no sex for 3 months now for making that.
Foster's.
Yeah, I don't get it. I really don't get it. No. Like, I remember being 15, 16, and I would drink that sort of stuff and bars and that. But I'm sorry,
hang on. Mm. Yeah, I remember when I was 15, just swanning around the bar scene, drinking Foster's.
I was really young, so I couldn't really, like, underage drink anyway, but I looked young anyway. But, like, once I got, like, to uni, I remember starting drinking things like Leffe. Like, was the first one that sort of, like, started taking me off the piece of that and just being like it, I just really found it. I don't think I ever really returned back to it. Once I started drinking away from what was served on the normal taps, I just don't think it's worth it, man.
No, I agree.
And this is unless Foster's are listening, they want to sponsor us, and then will all go out the window because I actually really love
premium
Foster's.
Lager.
It really is.
On a day like today when the sun's shining, there's nothing more I like than opening a cold can of Foster's. Oh. Today's top five.
Yes, indeedy. We're recording two top fives today, as per my son. And today's top five is picked by a podcast hero, Patreon hero, really, one of our OG listeners, Ellie Freeman.
Smelly Ellie Freeman.
She wants us to do top five songs that trigger memories or make you poo.
Oh, you said Smelly Ellie Freeman. She wants... Oh, and I thought he's going to say semen.
Oh, no, I didn't. But I ended with poo, but you didn't listen, so...
No.
You fucked it up. Ellie, I'm sorry. But top five songs that trigger memories, nostalgia, this is so good. And actually, there's so many. Like,
yeah.
It just, especially for someone like you, Stu, like, who is a muso prick. And, like, it... It must be endless. But for me, it's endless.
Well,
so
I don't
many.
Think, like, being a muso prick is necessarily a big factor in this. Because as I've sort of collated my list, nothing apart from one has got any bearing on my obsession with music and my job.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm going to start today.
All right, then. Go on, then.
I'm going to start with Jolene by Dolly Parton.
Oh.
It could be anything from a Dolly Parton greatest hits.
Yeah.
Songs such as Coat of Many Colours, Applejack, anything like that. Mm. They're songs that the minute I hear anything like old, you know, that you know, kind of, I guess, classic era Dolly. Mm. It transports me to my nan's living room when I was probably 6 or 7, and I can smell the room. Mm-hmm. I can picture the literally, I would have been playing with my, like, my Star Wars toys on the carpet. I can picture the carpet. Can sort of, every house has its own smell, doesn't it? And
yours and was musky.
Like, yeah. And yeah, I can still feel the texture of the sofa.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, and it's just, that was probably my happiest place growing up, was around my nan's. Oh. And yeah, and she had this stereo, and I can still remember it. It was like a it was like a, just like a turntable, but at the front it had like a radio, and it lit up. You pushed this silver button and it lit up with this green light. It looks so cool. I'd love to still have it. And it lit up this whole kind of dial of strip of, like, you know, radio frequencies that you could kind of tune to. But then it had the thing that you could put in the middle of the turntable. It's probably before your time, Chris. And you could stack up loads of 7-inch singles on it.
Oh, incredible.
And then you'd like, I used to sort of flick the switch on, and then the first record would drop down, and then the arm would automatically go over and play it. And then when it finished, the next track would drop down, almost like a jukebox. And obviously there was, you know, it was my nan and granddad's house, you know, and they were my nan, you know, this, I'm talking, this would have been like very early 80s. And so, you know, the only record that they had, I think, that was probably anything more recent than the 70s would have been Grandma, We Love You, that I probably bought them for Christmas that year. So I would get to listen to that. And so that, anything whenever it's Dolly Parton, it just absolutely makes me think of being at my nan's when I was little. And yeah, and it makes me happy. And I still think all of them songs are amazing. I think Dolly Parton's absolutely fucking incredible. And yeah, just makes me happy.
That's such a beautiful memory about your family. And yeah, very emotive, mate. Family and music just walk hand in hand. That's why I'm going to pick for my song After Dark by Tito and Tarantula. And it reminds me, it's the first song I heard. It's the song played in From Dusk Till Dawn, where Salma Hayek is dancing with the snake. And the reason why this is such
a... the first time you got an erection.
This is why this is such a treasured memory. On the sort of level of family do's and stuff like that, is it was the first song I heard in a strip club when I had my first lap dance. I wasn't actually going to say that. I just thought I'd say something a bit gross.
Salma Hayek.
Oh, she was incredible. But actually, because
she's still alive, mate. She's still alive.
I'm sorry. Yeah. My one actually is, if you're gonna do family memories, I'm torn between two. But New Year's Eve, Bridge Over Troubled Water, would be a song that, like, my entire family all absolutely shit faced. I remember it very specifically this year. It was the first year that my first proper occasion drinking with family. And my cousin Robin, who did the artwork for our wonderful Hardcore Listening podcast vinyl,
Still available.
We both got so shit-faced that we were just throwing up in the same toilet by the end of the night. But I remember Bridge Over Troubled Water playing in my my uncle's lounge, Uncle and Aunt's lounge, and the whole family just swaying along singing it, and all our parents being absolutely shit-faced and just singing their hearts out to it. And then my dad sort of like then stumbling over to the stereo and playing his favourite song, which was He Ain't Heavy by the Hollies. That was always my dad's favourite. And yeah, just though, like, I know I've cheated here and crowbarred three in.
No, it's because I could have done the same. Like, I know what you're saying.
It's just such a strong emotive memory, and I don't know. Like New Year's Eve, I think the whole reason why my favourite sort of party or gathering is a house party, like, you know, it all stems from how epic our New Year's Eve parties used to be. And I remember, like, you know, when you hit 12, like, me and my cousins all run out into the street banging pots and pans up and down there. I remember it so well, even without my shoes on. Just like you say, like, you can feel your nan's sofa. I can remember running up and down just in my socks, banging it, and your parents looking at you, sort of laughing.
You're too
but also
poor for
thinking,
shoes.
We didn't have shoes back in the 80s.
No, sorry.
Did we? You didn't, back when you were young, you didn't even have feet. You all had flippers. You hadn't evolved feet yet. Yeah, so I don't know. I love that. And so it's such a great choice by Ellie, this one, because it does, like, it does evoke all those sort of memories that you can potentially forget about. And,
definitely.
Yeah. Who sung Bridge Over Troubled Water? Who was it?
Simon and Garfunkel.
Simon, fucking hell. People be like, Jesus Christ, Chris.
That's
quite. How can you not remember that? But I can remember Tito and Tarantula.
I mean, again, like, family parties back then, My vivid memory then would, this was all in Tilbury, and it would have been the greatest hits of Chaz and Dave. When things got going, Chaz and Dave come out, and it would be Rabbit, Sideboard song, and it was like, and everyone just come alive. It was, good times.
Good times, right. Mate. What's your number four? I've already managed to say three songs in this. Go on, what's your number four?
So I'm going to go for... my first love. My first girlfriend, I guess. And just because it was, you know, it's a big deal, isn't it? The first time you kind of, you know, you're not just having a snog with someone. You're just thinking, oh, this is something more.
Is this, like, a happy, you know, song, or is this a heartbreak song?
Well, I've got two I can throw in.
Go on. So
at the time, I was really good friends with my friend Leah, and unfortunately she passed away. But Leah was, like, one of the only people that we knew that had a flat in Basildon, and my sort of girlfriend at the time lived in Romford, which was obviously, you know, quite a way away, and so Leah was like, I'll go and stay at my sister's, you can have my flat for the weekend, and that was, like, such a big deal, and she went, oh, I've done you a tape as well. And I thought, oh, wicked. So I went round there, and it was Paul Weller's first album on one side. I'm no big Paul Weller fan at all. And the other side of it was the Superfly soundtrack by Curtis Mayfield.
Amazing.
And there was also a cassette single by the side of the stereo, which was a song called Goodbye by the Sundays. And so for the whole weekend, which was, like, my kind of first weekend of feeling like a bit of a grown-up, having my own space with this girl that I thought was amazing, and I listened to that, them two albums, on repeat constantly. Yeah. And so whenever I hear that, I literally went for a run day before yesterday, and the opening track on the album's Superfly's track called Little Child Running Wild, and it come on, and just the opening, like, guitar lick and bongos, it just takes me to that flat straight away, and just feeling, like, really happy. Yeah. And but the song that was on that cassette single, Goodbye, is a beautiful song by the Sundays, and she's one of my favourite vocalists ever. They are a band. I know you don't believe they exist.
Not real.
But the B side of that cassette single, because on the cassette single you would press play, and then once the main track had played, then you wouldn't have to turn it over for the B-side. You'd get the B-side following it. Then you turn the cassette over and you get both tracks again. So I would then put that on. And the B-side of it is their version of the Rolling Stones' Wild Horses. Mm. And that song is still one of my... It is my favourite cover version of all time. And I can't hear that song without thinking of the first time I had my heart broke as well. Ugh. When it all went wrong and she went back to her ex and... And yeah, and I couldn't do anything about it.
He had a bigger wang, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
But I heard that wasn't why. She just went back with him because he was actually technically a more proficient lover too.
I would have thought so, yeah. And I just remember like...
I say that because I think that happened to me once.
But yeah, and it was like, yeah, it encapsulates, yeah, just that them feelings when you're... I think how old I was, maybe 18, 19, and just thinking like, wow, this is something different. And it was like the first time you'd felt that kind of excitement and butterflies, and then also the first time you felt that butterflies in a different way where you feel a bit helpless and you can't make something what you want it to be.
No.
Because
I think music's a bit like alcohol in terms of your emotions. Like alcohol magnifies it all, doesn't it? Like, you know, you can be
really
that little bit more wild and you can be that little bit more depressed on alcohol. And I think music's the same. Like, there's falling in love and music and then you formed an attachment to a certain, you know, song. It's a beautiful, like, all album, or you both get into an album together. He's one of the, it's such an amazing, great feeling.
And
it's only matched by when it all goes tits up. It can sometimes make those albums a bit hard to listen to, or songs. Mm-hmm. And then you might also find other songs to help you overcome it, dependent whether or not it's sadness you're feeling or fucking anger, frustration. Yeah. You know, I've got songs that sort of cover many different relationships and how I was feeling at the time.
I remember driving through the lanes, coming back through Upminster, after knowing that, like, this is never going to happen again. I'm never going to see her again. Like, she's back with her ex and that's it. And I remember, I don't know, I had the radio on and Heroes by Bowie come on. And I remember literally driving through these lanes, crying my eyes out, just thinking, oh, like, this is it. I've never had my heart broke.
Ben Stiller in Something About Mary, just bawling your eyes out driving. I've done it, mate. I remember splitting up with a girl and being crying my eyes out while driving. And that was through central London, thinking people must be looking at me, thinking, what the fuck is going on?
Do you know what, right? I had Charlene Spiteri on Off the Beaten Track last week.
Is she from Texas, or have I just made that up?
She's from Scotland, but she's in the band Texas.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah.
And
or did I?
she at one point was talking about like songs like growing up, and she said, "My heart's like a little jukebox," and I just thought that sums it up.
Yeah.
Like, you know, any time your heart, you know, you think of something that has really kind of made your heart skip a beat, there's always a little song in there that can. Mm. You know, signify that and accompany that. So yeah,
how's her rap career going? Because she's always doing stuff with Wu-Tang, from the looks.
Yes,
like.
Yeah, she.
That's
she,
so
she
weird.
With Wu-Tang, yeah, he's odd. Yeah. So yeah, the Sunday's Wild Horses.
Good choice, mate. Well, look, I was going to pick a song, and I am going to pick one from Heartbreak, which is I Could Have Lied from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. The first girl I kind of thought I loved, who then I told, and then just went, oh, that's nice. And,
oh, that's so brutal.
Oh, you know, like, I wasn't, it's weird because I was confident in so many ways, as a kid, and did some outlandish shit, as we well know. And then,
oh, that's so horrible.
Equally, I was like, as I've always said, very like the, you know, girls in general, especially when I was younger. By 30, I don't know, something changed and I was fine and I was confident and I felt very much in control of my emotions and how to approach girls that I like. But back then I couldn't. and to sort of like muster up the courage. I remember doing it. It was in my first year flat at uni, like in living halls. They were really nice. And I had an absolute blast in that halls. And I remember finally building up the courage to tell her. And we got so close. And she was like a really good friend. It was the first girl who I was just blown away by all her passions and what she was into. And she came from a completely different background to me, a different part of the country. Had a complete zest for life and going on spontaneous trips and adventures down to Glastonbury with her. And you know, I remember then sort of saying, oh, you know, I love you. And her just, yeah, being very polite about it. But also just like a nice championship pie to the face. And I remember that was a real tough pill to swallow. And then she then about 2 weeks...
Did you do the guy? I thought, oh, fuck you then.
I was like, no, we hugged and that. We hugged and...
Oh, I didn't even kiss. Thanks.
Sympathy hug.
Give us a cuddle. You're like a brother to me.
Sympathy hug. Then me nan died. Then me aunt died all within about 3 weeks of each other. So I was trying to get over that. And then like family members decided to all start snuffing it. And then the next time I saw her, a good mate of mine, Jay, had come down to see me randomly, which was brilliant. And then she met Jay and went, yeah, I think I fancy your best mate, Jay. I was just like, oh, fucking hell. Like, that was hard. It was hard to deal with. And she was a good human being. There was not part of this that, you know, when you look back, it's like, that hurt a lot. But she was just, you were young and inexperienced. And you can sit there and say, maybe, obviously, you should have been, even at 19, you should be probably emotionally smarter not to say that. But I've done many things, and older than that, which wouldn't be classified as emotionally smart or considerate. So, you know, I'm not upset with her for doing that. It just kind of hurts at the time. And I remember listening to Chili Peppers, I Could Have Lied, and it's obviously just about that, and my face can't show what is not real. When I was a bit of a goof round, I couldn't help it, because she came across to me as someone who's greater than the sum of my parts, you know, just someone who's better than me. And I was in awe of her. So that song...
A lot of them out there.
There was most... I would say about 100% of women. And I remember listening to that song and being at the pits of that sadness and just being like, oh, I'm going to be alone forever. But you get over it. You get over it. And the other thing is, one of the highs, you know, say, getting into songs. And I think one of the Foo Fighters' first records was something we got into together. And... And the other one, and this is that one I said to Pip, and he was like, oh, yeah. He said, oh, you today? He says, you've been listening to that River Girl by any chance? I was like, what do you mean? And he went, yeah, Counting Crows is something that you get into by your girlfriend. And I was like, fucking hell, he's hit the nail on that. I was like, oh, you've been there then? He was like, yeah. Was like,
oh, okay. we've all took a trip to Sullivan Street. Don't worry, mate. Yeah. Oh, mate, there's nothing you want more when it's all gone tits up and just sitting there looking at the floor listening to Raining in Baltimore.
So funny.
Oh, brilliant.
There you go, mate. There's my number four. What's your three?
I'm going to talk about Cochise by Audioslave.
Oh, really? Interesting.
So, I'm not necessarily a fan of that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good glossy rock record.
Yeah, it's Tom Morello on guitar, isn't it? That's Audioslave.
It's
right?
Pretty much Rage.
Yeah, yeah.
It's Rage with Chris Cornell.
Mm.
You know, big fan of Rage. I thought Soundgarden were all right. But when that came out, that song, my daughter was eldest daughter was probably... See, this is going to make it... How old do you reckon that record is? Yeah, probably not too far off. It's probably 17 years old now.
Oh, wow, okay.
And I don't know if you remember the video, but the video, they're like on like a kind of rooftop, and then there's like fireworks going off everywhere.
Yeah, I remember.
It's, you know, it's a ballsy rock record.
Yeah.
And it was the first song that Hallie responded to.
Oh, what?
And she'd be in a little kind of baby rocker thing, them like little chairs that they just sort of sit in and bounce in.
Oh, what?
And you could see like all the colours from that video were resonating. And then, like, because it starts with like a helicopter sound, and it's like, obviously, then that massive riff kicks in, yeah. And I remember just seeing her just like rocking in a little chair and like absolutely transfixed. And it was like whenever that song came on MTV, it literally sort of, you know, pricked her attention. So I think that was the first time that, and it just made me. Yeah, it's a very fond memory. Whenever I hear that song now, I just think of, my eldest being literally brand new, bouncing around in her chair, watching Audio Slave. So, yeah, that's it, really. I haven't got loads to say about that, but that is...
Did you think she's going to be a rocker? Was you like,
I realised quite quickly with both my kids that... Layla's have, you know, got into skating and she, I think she's... probably going to be the person that goes to my club. I don't think my eldest is going to come to my club that much. It's one of them things that I've never tried to influence. I've never tried to go listen to this.
I think it's okay to expose people. It's when you just see people like they're desperate for them to be little versions of themselves. I watched a Stacey Dooley sleepover documentary the other day, and it was one where she sleeps over with a family whose kid is getting into MMA, and it's a really grey area because actually I do think by and large, even
that's a really old one, Matt.
Yeah, by and large, I think that particular child it might have been quite good for, but the thing that murkies the territory is the dad is so keen for him to do it.
Like, but you see that, like. Where in my old house, I lived next to a field where there was Sunday League, and the amount of like fat dads that are still dining out on the fact that, I had trials for fucking Kettering or something like that in like 1992, standing there like hungover, fucking 20 odd stone, wearing one of them long football coats, boots, just standing on the fucking touchlines. Shouting at kids, like, fucking tragic. I mean, don't get me wrong, I took both my kids to learn to box, you know, but when they didn't want to do it, that's down to them.
Yeah,
like, you know, you can present them with stuff, but when you get into the kind of, now come on, do it for daddy, you know, that, then that just flags flaws in that person.
Yeah,
and it's like, let them be their own person, don't make them live your dreams, and and that fucking hell, football dads on the touchline, I've literally seen punch-ups and it's just pathetic. It's like, I've never understood why grown men that have just gone to watch football wear an outfit, wear them long kind of puffer coats and boots. Yeah. Why? You're watching the game. You're not playing. You're not the manager. Pathetic.
I won't do any of that with my kids. As long as, if I have a daughter, as long as they become a porn star, I won't be upset.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
They just must become a porn star. Anyway, next subject.
What's your number two, joking. Chris?
I wouldn't care what they did. It's number three for me.
Okay.
Ante Up. From all right. All our times at the Lizards.
Yeah, yeah, it's good that.
So there's loads of sort of like great records that that we would play.
Hey, what's wrong with you?
You'd sometimes play She Don't Know No No. And I,
occasionally.
And that always reminded me of when like I started dating the photographer who came, and then do you remember the cute Colombian photographer?
Yeah,
and that kind of didn't work out for me. And after a while, she'd just be chasing me around trying to find me or messaging you. and I always think that song always reminds me.
Where's Chris? I don't know.
That always reminds me of that situation. But you know, I'd say. Who was it? Bill would play Black Betty, and I used to love that song when he played that. He's such a... What, is that the name of the song? Hey, Black Betty. Black Betty. Have I got that wrong? Go on.
It is called Black Betty. Oh, okay. And, I'm just going to throw this out there now. Bill, who is an incredible DJ. Absolutely incredible.
Really,
and I take his music conversations very seriously. Yeah. I would say he's a majestic tastemaker.
Yeah.
That's in my top three worst songs of all time.
Is it?
Hate it.
I love it when Bill plays it because I think it's got such a good tempo, and Bill's such a wicked DJ. And I just I don't know. For me, like Bill is out of all the Weird Lizards gang, I think is the one who's the most proficient at like dance music DJing, clearly, and beyond that he's like
100%,
like, you know, he can do hip hop and all of that, and he can just sew it in between any of our sets really. Yeah. Well, obviously Destruction sets, there's loads of tunes in that just always the monkey on the line, clap clap.
The clapping song. Shirley Ellis. Yeah.
I think that that reminds me of his set. But yeah, Ante Up, I think, is the one that I probably had just about. I'm probably on my fifth tequila, and people drop that, and then we'll just all go crazy in the.
You'll start trying to fuck my leg like a dog.
I've only done that once. Stop saying it like that was a thing I always did.
Yeah.
You know, I kicked your leg once, and then fucked it once.
Yeah. That don't make up for it.
No, it makes it even.
Sorry I kicked it. I'm going to fuck it better.
Exactly. It makes it even now. One all. Cruel and kind.
Ante Up's a banger, and it is. I think if I hear that, I do picture a lot of us jumping around in the DJ booth. Yeah. It would generally, a lot of the time, be one of Pip's sort of like opening records.
Yeah.
And
every now and then, just to fuck him off, I'd play it if I was before him.
Absolute banger of a track. Yeah, solid choice, dude. Solid choice.
The good old days, eh? The good old days. We really need to do a We Are Lizards podcast.
Why?
Now. Fucking, you're so rude. What's your fucking... What's your two?
I'm going to go for... Debaser by the Pixies.
Ah, what a tune. I've got some Pixies memories too.
And my memory is, I spoke about this on other podcasts, and it's a time when clubbing for me was always about being the guy that run it or orchestrates, you know, promotes it or whatever, you know, whether it be DJing or, you know, I've ticked a few boxes in that industry. And one of the boxes I didn't really do that much of was just going out and dancing. And I managed to do that when I was really young. And we used to go to this club in Leicester Square called the Gas Club. And the Gas Club was this really cool little venue tucked away. I think it was around sort of... where Baz was it? I'm sure it was up near sort of... was it Trafalgar Square way? Around there. And one of us would take turns to drive each week. And it was brilliant. It was just, we'd have both me and Cunt had estate cars, so we'd generally sort of throw people in the boot as well. not in a good fella's way. Like, and so we'd always have like a proper little firm, and it felt really exciting that we was going to London clubbing, and it was a Wednesday night, and we all knew we had college in the morning, but it just didn't matter. And you'd go there, and the club night was called Automatic, and the warm up DJ was Errol Olken before anyone knew who Errol was. This was before Trash and all of that. And I just remember you'd go in there. It's the first time I ever heard Killing the Name in there.
Yeah.
He got it on some kind of promo, and I was just like, whoa. Went and ordered it, and then was like, right, I'm going to definitely start playing this in the Southeast. Mm. But I always kind of felt awkward in clubs, because a lot of the time I'd be in clubs that I was working at, and sometimes people go, I can't have a dance, and it was just like, I just never felt comfortable doing it. And I've definitely sort of struggled over the years with experiencing joy, you know, when going out. You know, I've tried lots of different things that I think are going to be things that people go, like when you go and I see you out clubbing, you are enjoying yourself, you know, and I'm not.
Yeah.
And so I've got a vivid, vivid memory, and I can literally describe it to a T. And it would be on a virtually empty dance floor at about, probably, we'd got there at 9, it was probably about 10:30. I reckon there was probably 30 people on this dance floor, and Errol dropped Debaser. I had a blue T-shirt on, just a plain blue T-shirt. I had green checked, baggy shorts on, and I had yellow Converse All-Stars on, and I would have had long, my hair's quite curly when it grows long, and I had long sort of curly-ish hair down to my shoulders, and I remember dancing, and at that point just thinking, I am absolutely loving this, I'm so happy right now, and of all the memories I've got of anything that I've done in working in clubs in for 28 years, that's my favourite.
That's so crazy, man. That's lovely as well. It's beautiful to hear. And what makes you think that you... Is it you hold back? Do you think you're holding back in a club? Or...
Yeah, I guess so. Like, I just that whole bollocks of like dance like no one's watching thing. Yeah, that was that point.
Yeah.
And it was just like... I just must have been in a really good place with all my friends. Felt like I was doing something really exciting.
Didn't feel anxious or anything. Yeah,
no, great song. I was probably sober. And I don't think I've ever been in a club since and had that kind of feeling. Well, I haven't. Definitely not. Like, not in a million years. I think maybe that whole kind of not doing drugs growing up has probably impacted on that. A lot of people, you know, that have experimented with that are probably, you know, attached that to lots of kind of feelings of euphoria.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've got my fair share of that. It's kind of funny because it all ties into my number two. Shall I say?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
So it does and it doesn't. So my number two is Super Sharp Shooter. And it's from back when I was 14 and I went to like a roller disco, right? It wasn't a roller disco, it was in the same place that they did the roller disco, but this was called Fuddruckers, and this was some like teeny boppers night that we would go to. And I remember Super Sharp Shooter playing, and I guess I'd listened, I may have heard it before, because my best friend's sister was big into like the jungle hardcore scene and all that. And
it's by DJ Zinc, right?
Super Sharp Shooter isn't by DJ Zinc. No, it's by...
Not?
No, I don't think it is. It's by... fucking hell, my mind's gone blank. Let me double check that. I really don't think it's DJ Zinc, Super Sharp Shooter. I'm going to kick myself because it's really...
It's Shune.
Yeah, it's really obvious who it is. It's the other guy who did... Move Your Body, I'm sure. Oh, no, it is fucking DJ Zinc, mate. I'm so sorry, Stu. I am so sorry. Yeah, it's DJ Zinc. Fuck.
Never question, mate.
It's just... I can't
believe
it's DJ
You questioned me
Zinc.
You didn't know who fucking sung Bridge Over Troubled Water, you melt.
Tito and Tarantula, mate. I remember the important ones.
can't believe I've forgotten that it was DJ Zing. But anyway, I was 14. I remember them playing it in this massive warehouse where this teeny bopper night was, and just going fucking postal. And that's the thing, like drum and bass. So by the when I then I don't know dial on like 5 or 6 years, and I was in I was at uni, and we'd go to like this thing called Flashdance, which was in a fucking church, but a massive church in Birmingham. It was insane, and it was all like the, again, it was always like the like Two Bad Mice and Alton A and
Irene Cara, like
yeah, who do you say?
Irene Cara.
All
wearing like leotards and leg warmers. Yeah. Flashdance, man, love it.
All right.
Tune.
Who else was it who did This Is the Captain of Your Ship? Was it Two Bad Mice? There was another big like hardcore scene act. I can't remember their name. But I'd go to that and the drum and bass of that, and there'd be Zinc, there'd be DJ Rap, who's one of my favourite DJs of all time. She was just incredible. And I just... It was that same feeling I had with Super Substitute. And it's what you're talking about. It's this, I just go, I don't know how it makes me feel. It does something inside when I hear drum and bass and when it drops and it's just hectic. I love it. It's a sensation that, you know, with or without any sort of like, you know, sort of influence. I don't know. I can feel myself wanting to go crazy now. And it all started with that really, really, that the root of that is Super Sharpshooter. And just thinking, wow, what music. And Pip once done me a tape, and it wasn't anything with drum and bass, but it still he did top fives for me, all different genres. But the theme, one of the genres was top five screw your face up and rock. And I don't know, it just feels like that when I listen to drum and bass. It just makes me go lose my mind. And I know you say like dance like no one's watching and stuff like that. I don't know about any. I understand the theme of it, I really do. And letting yourself go, and certainly to Super Sharpshooter was the first time I think I've really started going absolutely bananas. So yeah, great memory there at Fuddruckers, before booze and, you know, all that other stuff. So yeah, it was brilliant. That's my number two, mate.
So my number one kind of encapsulates everything to do with my childhood, mm-hmm. and it rings through to this day. And it's going to be Our House by Madness. Because it just reminds me of some of my earliest musical memories would have been, video memories would have been seeing the early videos of Madness in 81, and just thinking they just looked like lads and looked really excited. And they wrote these kind of songs that felt like comedy songs. So for a kid, you know, you get excited about it, and then, you know, this is at the point when I met Cunt, and we both was obsessed with this band, and he bought these pens that you could like write on t-shirts, and he would like design his own Madness t-shirts, and then we'd go on like little trips to like Camden, and we was like literally like fucking 13, 14, and go to places that we'd seen in Madness videos, and just kind of like box tick them, and we'd write songs, and the first songs that we'd wrote we'd do like that. Some of the, there's a song by Madness called The Business, and it's an instrumental, and we'd write lyrics to go over it, which would be the very early kind of probably the first thing I ever done in bands, and it was all comedy songs, which obviously he's continued to do to this day, and I'd done it for quite a fair few years, and I can't hear anything from Madness and not picture the excitement and the joy, and then, you know, going to see them at Finsbury Park when they got back together for the first ever Madstock gig, and it just There's a lyric in it which I may even have said when we done the one with Pip. I'm not sure if I did or not. And it's my favourite lyrics ever, because it just sums up friendship, and it sums up being young and having stupid dreams, and having someone that you can grow up and share them with. And them lyrics are. It's the middle eight. And it's, I remember way back then when everything was true and when we would have such a very good time, such a fine time, such a happy time. And I remember how we'd play, simply waste a day away. Then we'd say, nothing will come between us, two dreamers. That's made me upset. That's made me upset. Like, yeah, it's wonderful.
Oh, shoot, that's amazing, mate.
So that's my number one.
What's that's yours? A worthy number one, that, mate. Like, as usual with music, I come to the party late. And like I said to you before, I think I text you when I was filming that Madness thing with Aaron at the Madness Weekender. And watching the whole crowd sing Madness songs and being at the front filming them all was just like, it was just incredible. My number one, I've said this before, like there's so many incredible ones that I could have picked. Like New York, New York sounds funny, but me singing karaoke at 14 and upsetting, well, younger than that, like 11, upsetting loads of people. I've got loads that are pinned to sort of like the passing of my best friend. I've said before, like driving down the road and A Thousand Trees for Stereophonics comes on and it just hits me so hard I've had to pull over and just have a fucking little mini breakdown. But I guess the what, like, if I'm going to say what's my, if you're having a song that triggers a music memory, is so emotive, what is the pinnacle of that? And it again, we spoke about this before, but I'll go into it a bit more detail, is that is V97 and the Prodigy show. And I've had so many strong memories for music. It's a wonderful thing, as I'm sure this podcast has relayed, and we all have them. People listen to this, I'm sure. I would really recommend everyone just go and do their top fives, because it's a really enjoyable thing to do, really emotive. But when I think about like Poison and that, like there's that break in, actually it's Poison and it's the first song that they played that day, like it's that whole, it was the anticipation in the break of Poison and actually just before they played as well. And I think the first song they started with was Smack My Bitch Up. And unless you can correct me, was it Smack My Bitch Up, the first one?
I think it was, yeah. Like, it's so good. This was like, this got bumped, this one. This was so close, but I thought you'd throw it in.
And we have spoke about it before, but I've thrown in so many others that people haven't heard today. So hopefully that pays for it. But I can, like you were saying about, you know, going back to even your number five, I can feel the sweat on my T-shirt. You know, I can feel how fucking hot it was and the humidity in the air. And then when you got that cool breeze over you, like looking up at that stage before they came on and before it kicked in, and then just the crowd going mad, and then just the whole show being absolutely crazy. And then, you know, that there's a little break in Poison where he's... where he's sort of like hyping up the drop, and Maxim was they were all incredible on that thing, you know. It was back when Leroy was still in the gang as well. Mm. Keith had sort of like metamorphosized into the sort of like Firestarter version of Keith that we got. You know, I don't know, man. There's nothing more like that. For 2 days after it, I barely said anything. For me, that's insane. It was such a memory, and live music can really do that. That whole, it's so exciting, music in your bedroom. Listen to music in your bedroom. I remember listening to Black Sunday from Cypress Hill in Italy when we were talking about worst foods last week. And of a night time when everyone went to bed, I'd put my earphones in. And I remember listening to like Cock the Hammer and Lick a Shot and loving it. And it's so emotive. But then when you have everyone together listening to music, It'll forever stay in your soul. It'll form part of your character. And
100%, 100%, mate. Yeah. Well, I mean, we didn't know each other. We was in that field experiencing together. And it's brilliant, and it's a really nice shared memory that both of us value that moment, that song, that gig as one of the fondest we've ever experienced. And yeah, couldn't agree more. Listeners, we're on all the social media platforms. If you're Patreons, then head over to there and give us one. Just give us one example of a song
and a memory
that you attach with a really strong memory, you know. And and let's get a nice thread going. When we put this episode out, we'll, you know, underneath the post with the artwork, just put yours on there. Patreons, get stuck in. We'll get a nice big thread going there. And I guess, you know, just to finish up this, we should just mention that the Patreon thing is an opportunity where you can support the podcast if you'd like to. We understand that this year's been a strange year. Well, the last year and a half's been a strange year and a half. And so finances can be tight. But if you'd like to support the podcast, then you can do it there. And it's a community over there as well. And we do live shows on Zoom that everybody can come and get involved with, and we put up a standalone episode each week over there as well, so you can get another episode each week. We're about to record one now, and you can find out about that and everything else you need to know about Hardcore Listing at the website, which is hardcorelisting.com.uk.
Our website or Patreon?
You can get, if you go to the website, you can find Patreon there as
well.
Hardcorelisting.co.uk.
Be fine.
Everything you need to know is over there.
Yeah. And Patreon is patreon.com/ surprise, surprise, Hardcore Listing.
Surprise, surprise isn't in the thing, so don't type that in.
What we all want to know in closing is, what's your first song you had a lap dance to?
Hardcore Listing. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.